Hello and welcome to episode 543 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I am your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me everywhere on the online at Hey Dude Meg.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser, and I hate myself just as much as you do. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Hey, guys. So we made it from the big weekend of award shows. So two more weeks left. And less than 2 weeks, 13 days until the 2026 Oscars are announced, the 98th Annual Academy Awards. Are you thinking about anything else?
Well, last night I wasn't. But I know Joey's probably thinking about his food a lot.
Well, we're locked in. We have the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I had to sign an NDA about the menu. That's just really funny.
Of course, you should start doing that, Joey, because you did. I mean, the invite was pretty threatening. Like,
it was
an empty. I mean, I think an empty threat, but like, it was still a threat. Like, it took me back to when you used to send me mail in high school and it would be in all caps. And it was frightening because I was like, is someone trying to kill me?
You're like, no, it's just my faggy friend from homeroom.
I did have a somewhat scary thing happen to me this morning where I was walking the dog outside and like just taking him in the backyard to go to the bathroom. And this guy comes running up to my house and he goes, I was going to leave you a note. And I'm just like, nobody ever wants to hear that. And here he like had something to do with the property and whatever. But I was just like, I was writing you a note at 7:30 in the morning. I'm like, what's going on?
Better writing you a note than banging on your door at 7:30 in the morning.
I know. I was like, I'm glad I was outside because I think I would have been more frightened if you would have left it. I don't know.
Peeking in the window.
Yeah, I don't know.
What was the note about?
It was going to be about the property thing that it was the issue. But also, I've been hearing weird noises in my house lately, and I thought last night that there was an animal under my sink, but I think it's just things moving from, I don't know. I was poking things. You would think that the animal would come out, but nothing. I don't think anything's in there, but I don't know. I think I'm haunted. I don't know. There's a ghost. It's creepy.
Awesome.
Yeah, sorry.
How long have you been in that house?
5 years.
Has it been 5 years?
5 years, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
That was longer.
Five and a half years, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Insane.
All right. So this weekend we had the Ace Eddie Awards, we had the Producers Guild, we had the Actor Awards. We're going to talk about the Actor Awards, and then we're going to jump off to the to use that as a springboard to talk about Best Actor and Best Actress. As I was preparing for this podcast, I thought the Actor Awards, or this weekend actually, was so funny because there are two camps of people in film Twitter on the internet. That camp who is so convinced that one battle after another is going to win that it's like even more locked than Oppenheimer was. Like, I've seen people quote that and I'm like, that is ridiculous. And then there's the other camp of people who are like, oh, no, they won. The Sinners won this and this and the tides have changed. And now Sinners is going to win. And there's no in between. There's absolutely no in between.
It was pretty ugly online last night. I was telling Joey, like, first of all, my favorite thing to do after any awards is to go on Twitter and to be like, what are people saying? What funny things did people notice? Like, I didn't even notice that Amy Madigan did the little run up to the, I didn't notice that until, because probably because I was texting Joey or writing things down, but I always love to see what I missed, but there were just so many like mean takes. I just couldn't get over how many, like, one directed at Amy Madigan, which I was like, this is uncalled for. And we're getting that time where it's like, okay, we need to wrap this up before people get killed. Like, that's what I feel like.
Totally agree. And, you know, we can get into it as we get into the individual categories. I mean, I saw a lot of interesting things, and it just seems like people are so desperately clinging to stats you know, and it's like, I don't know. It just feels like all that is just out the window, and it's just so unpredictable this year.
It really is. And I'm glad you're saying that, like, you can't rely on completely on stats, because their records are broken every year. Joey was saying that today.
Well, the thing that I also said to Megan was that I understand taking all this seriously. Like, a lot of us, I mean, obviously we do, but like, people who do this, they make their livelihood out of it, and they like to see things first and have like a dominating opinion on something. But like, the thing that I said to Megan was like, the people that are just so unbelievably like anxious, even that their stuff is wrong or the stuff is right, it makes me think, it was like, no one, as soon as the ceremony is over, no one will remember who did well and who did, you know, great, unless there's a huge blowout and someone called something that was a huge surprise, whatever. I'm pretty sure I still hear homosexuals like, I called Marcia Gay Harden in 2000. Like, okay, we get it. But the like, the joke that I made to Megan was like, I don't know if I can go over to the contending. Joey Moser's 2018 Golden Globes predictions were really off. Like, I don't think that there's a lot of legacy in a lot of, like, the individual predictions that people have from year to year. And I kind of wish, like, there was a point last night where I was just like, I'm just having a really great time, and this could be a lot of fun. Like, there are three acting races that are completely up in the air. Like, that's fun. Like, whatever. I don't know. I know a lot of people, a lot of stuff on the line. A lot of people may have a differing opinion about that, but like, it's all good. All good.
No, it is. It is absolutely fun. And I can't remember an Oscar race. I mean, I'm sure there is one, you know, within the past 10 years. I can't remember an Oscar race where we had three acting categories that you have no front runner.
It's like three, like, of that best actress race of 2021 with Frances McDormand. I mean, that was like, that was the last time I remember being like, it could be any, like, we don't know. And I feel like we have three of those right now, and that's kind of insane.
But here's how Carey Mulligan can still win.
Shut the fuck up.
Sorry. I feel like we have to get that into every podcast.
Yeah. Until the end of time, because that was so absurd for the whole season.
Yeah,
and I do wonder if that's such a joke that only, like it is a joke that I see on Twitter all the time, but I'm like, is that, does anybody else know that outside of Twitter, film Twitter?
No,
like,
no.
Marie, do you know what that joke is?
No, she does not.
I'll explain it to you later, but that's for you.
I want to say, like, there are people, I had a friend who's like, a friend that, you know, I know in real life, he just texted me like 10 minutes before we started recording, and his hi, I didn't actually have his number before, I know I had his husband's number, and he said, hi, it's so and so, you've seen Sinners, right? And I was like, yes ma'am, I have. And he goes, I'm about an hour in and ... vampires. And I was like, where have you been for all of 2025?
Wait, they didn't know they were vampires?
They did not know they were vampires. And he said, this is not where I thought this was going at all.
I thought that people knew that there were vampires, but they were surprised by how late the vampires came in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's mostly the complaint that I see.
I guess we'll find out.
I guess we'll find out, yeah.
I am endlessly surprised by either it's people on Twitter being really dumb or trolling, but I'm endlessly surprised by what people will type and say, I didn't know that blah blah, you know, Kanye West was married to Kim Kardashian, you know, something, you know, just you know, so in the pop culture and so ingrained, not even like ingrained in a specific film Twitterverse thing, but just something that is general knowledge, and people are like, what?
Do you remember like a couple years ago when people were like, did you know the woman from Schitt's Creek is the mom from Home Alone?
I remember that.
And I was like, oh my God, you're kidding. And I realized like that was a real thing.
But then I did not know. Here I was. I think this is probably a little bit more niche information, but here I am just realizing 2 weeks ago that Issa Briones is John Briones' daughter. I did
not. I didn't think about
who's
that.
Who's John Boyonis?
He was in. He's a musical theater actor who was in the revival of Miss Saigon. He played the engineer, the character that was formerly played by Jonathan Pryce. But he was also in Versace. He was. What's that?
You can see he wasn't
Johnny Versace. Yeah, he played Andrew Cunanan's dad.
Yeah.
Wow. You can see the resemblance with.
He's incredibly talented too. He's,
yeah.
His actual performance in Miss Saigon is available. There's a filmed version of the show, and it is him. And he should have been nominated for Tony. I can't believe he wasn't. But anyway,
Megan, he's on The Beauty. He plays Dr. Dane.
Wait, what?
Plays Dr. Dane. I'm just on his Wikipedia page. I haven't watched.
Hold on.
Yeah. Dr. Dane Delegra in a guest role.
Okay, I'm looking.
But he's been in like Miss Saigon. He was in like Les Mis. He was in.
Yeah.
Fairy Town. Yeah, yeah.
So I see where she gets it.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
All right, so of this weekend, we had the ACE Awards. Sinners won Best Edited Drama Feature over what everybody anticipated would be F1. One Battle After Another won in the comedy race because it has gone throughout most of the year in the comedy race when it campaigns or when it contends. One Battle After Another won the Producers Guild Saturday night. And then, of course, we had the Actors Awards. So let's break down our reactions to the awards. Let's just run through TV very quickly. Studio won 3 awards, swept everything that it was nominated for, including Catherine O'Hara, which was
you and I did not pick her, right?
No, I didn't.
Why didn't we? Because I was thinking
well,
that
because I didn't pick her because she didn't win Golden Globes? She didn't win something. No. What?
She did not win the Emmy.
No.
She hasn't won anything for that.
She didn't win something after she had passed.
Oh.
Was there anything? Maybe there wasn't. Maybe I was wrong. Anyway, I just thought Jean Smart was going to run away with it.
Yeah.
Again.
But I'm glad that was as soon as they said Catherine O'Hara, I was like, oh, I should have picked her because that's. Joey picked her. So
Joey and Joelle did.
Yeah.
And I was so worried watching Seth Rogen go up to that stage, and I'm like, why is it not someone else? Why is it Seth Rogen? But he was very poignant and sweet and gave a great speech. So good for him.
He really did. He did it. Well, I think it should have been Seth Rogen. It's his kind of his show. It's his baby, and he worked closely with her and. I thought it was very sweet, and I love that he's like called out like things about her work, like go watch, like if you've been living under a rock and you don't know who Catherine O'Hara is, like I thought it was really, really great.
Yeah. So The Pitt also won everything it was nominated for, which was just Noah Wiley and drama series. What do you guys make of Kerry Russell winning for The Diplomat?
Well, Joey, you predicted that, so I feel like you should say something.
I really picked that because our listener, Kevin, came up with a theory. I really stole his theory. I mean, he basically said in SAG, in the TV category specifically, there's always, there's typically like one-ish surprise. And The Diplomat has been nominated, I think, for both seasons. It's sort of like a dependable drama, a sort of more, I don't want to say like typical drama, but I feel like, I think this, that a lot of people predicted, I think, Rhea Seehorn. Mm-hmm. And did anybody pick Britt Lauer? I would have to look at our predictions. But no, it's mainly Rhea Seehorn. I thought, comforted in my, this, I mean, this happened after Kerry Russell won, but like just seeing the bit between Rhea Seehorn or Rhea Seehorn talk to Kristen Bell and Kristen Bell being like, oh, you need to tell me what it's about. I have this question and this question. And I sort of chalk it up to the same reason why I didn't predict Britt Lauer, when it's just, this is my personal preference and bias on it, where it feels like Severance feels like it's work to me. And I just feel like the actors would pick something that just seemed a little bit more straightforward drama. And I'm sure, I mean, Kara Russell's been in the game for a minute now, clearly, not that the other women haven't, but, and I don't know, it just feels a little, I don't want to say generic, but I mean, it's a little bit more accessible than those two other performances. So I that's probably why I picked it. Also, thanks, Apple, Kevin. I think I'm one of the only people who predicted that.
You did. You were. Apple does love a complicated drama.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no, like, there's nothing straightforward about anything that they have as a drama. It's always like a sci-fi thing or a puzzle wrapped inside of itself. And they all feel like
work. World building. Yeah.
Yeah. They just absolutely all feel like work. I know. We'll see what happens at the Emmys with Rhea Seehorn. She's overdue for her work in Better Call Saul. So she's definitely the front runner right now, but I don't know. It's tough, I think, for the Academy to embrace an Apple show in its first season. And even in the second season, look, Severance didn't win. So I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Megan, we finally got Michelle Williams in.
You and I both predicted that too. I kind of figured, like, because I was looking at I thought, well, this could be where they would do this because they love her and she got something. I was very happy about that.
I went with her because I thought Adolescence was probably going to, you know, there was just so many combinations and permutations there that I don't know. This just seemed like a very actory performance that they
would. I thought that too. Yeah.
Owen Cooper, of course, winning. Too bad he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. That's really all the television. You know, I will say I did not like the layout of this year's Actors Awards because I felt like we were just wading through all this TV to get to the meat that we all wanted to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, usually usually start out with like best supporting actress or actor in a movie and then kind of sprinkle them in. Because they did kind of, it was weird the way that happened, but I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of a sit. All right, so let's talk about each of these film performances or film winners. Amy Madigan won for Weapons in female actor in a supporting role. I was going with Teyonah Taylor. Clearly, SAG loved One Battle After Another enough to give it a bunch of awards, but not enough to give it a lot of awards. So it only won one thing for the Sean Penn's racist cop performance. So going back to where we were a couple of weeks ago, what does this do? We think it's still between three actresses, all of whom who have won major awards in the past couple of months. Teyonah Taylor, who won the Golden Globe, Wunmi Mosaku, who won BAFTA, and now Amy Madigan, who has won the SAG.
Critics' Choice and SAG.
And she won Critics' Choice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I said major.
Sorry. It's major.
I'm kidding. Where are you guys now?
I mean, I think I'm not confident, but I'm picking Amy Madigan because I'm just like, I saw somebody saying, like, I've been banging this drum all year. I'm going to go down with the ship type of thing. I forget who it was. I think it was a Cody Derricks or something. But I was like, you know what? I'm doing that too. Like, why? At this point, like, you really do just pick, like, the one that, like, the biggest outsider, I guess, is what I'm going with. And she could win. It could be Wunmi. It could be Teyonah, like, or Tiana. I feel like I'm saying her name wrong. But, like, at this point, I'm just going with the my favorite, they're all great, but like my favorite weirdo performance.
Joey, what about you?
I honestly have no fucking idea. I don't. I think my gut right now is Teyana Taylor.
I love that.
My heart is with Wunmi Mosaku. Just because I'm still on that BAFTA high. What?
And your cock is with Amy Madigan.
Hey, I'm glad. It's I don't know. I mean, I love Amy Madigan too, though. It was such a rad performance
Yeah,
to win.
she's terrifying.
The fact that she brought it up in her speech. She was like, the kids literally ripped me apart. I have to say, I really wanted Weapons to get nominated for Best Picture because I wanted to make a Campbell Soup chicken noodle pull-apart bread. But whatever.
What was there was a Gladys?
That was maybe with
Was
like a
she
little red wig or
upset?
something. I don't know. I just think that I don't know, but I think I'm gonna settle on right now. It'll change in 30 seconds. Teyana Taylor. That's what I'm gonna do.
I feel like sometimes she's my, like, I think she's the heart of that movie. I would love to see her win. Love to. I love seeing her all season. Like, she's just been, her and Amy Madigan, like, cheering for each other has been, like, really sweet to see.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, and we'll talk about this when we talk about a certain other win, but Wunmi Mosaku was standing up near the end of the night, and there's one shot of her where you can see her just mouthing thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you over and over and over again. And I don't
You've
know,
been watching that on a loop all day.
I just love her, and she's just like There's like there she looks so gorgeous last night in that red dress. Oh my God.
Yeah,
But
she did.
I thought that I said I think last week that I said, well, if Sinners is gonna win casting, it's gonna have an acting win. And surely Wunmi Mosaku is the one to represent that. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm going back and forth between Madigan and Taylor because I read something on Twitter today that's like if the Academy could not give it to Demi Moore for a horror film that was also nominated for other major Oscars, including Best Picture, why are they going to give it to Amy Madigan for a film that has no other nominations? But then somebody's like, no, that it's a totally different scenario because it's supporting and the stake. Yeah, I don't know. And there's that was a
Supporting has more
two-way.
all balls. Supporting, they're kind of like, we'll give it to the like one nominee person. Like they do that sometimes, I feel like.
Yeah, it makes it so incredibly surprising still that Kathy Bates won Misery in 1990 because it was a horror performance
Yeah.
in Best Actress, and it was the only nomination for the film. What's wrong,
Well,
Joey?
you could just also think like that's I mean they I mean originally like when the Oscars first had supporting actor and actress introduced, like that was really like a place to highlight character actors. And I don't know, I sometimes think it was like, well, maybe Amy Madigan won last night because she's a veteran actor who hasn't had this big of a part and this much public recognition for a really long time. So maybe it's just sort of like it fits into like the role of what SAG plays into the overall race. But I mean, I don't know, she gets up there and she gives those speeches and she's like all about the performers, and SAG is the biggest, acting body of the or voting body of the Academy. And like, who knows? Maybe her fun speech, weird, kooky thing could sway people. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I will go back and forth between the two of them up until 7:59 p.m. Eastern on Monday, on Sunday, March 15th.
I will be submitting two different ballots for my. I will pay for both, and I will double. You can do that. There's
I
no one
am
stamps
going to
that on.
count your money. I want to be the person.
Fine, you get a little green visor, and you'll be fine. I will hedge my bets, and I will bet more than once to whatever. And I also have, I'll be whispering in Jason's ears, like, don't do that. So.
Male actor in a supporting role. Last week, Jalal joined us and offered that this would solidify a Sean Penn trajectory straight to the Oscars. And 2 out of 3, he's there. Again, seeing actual non-critics voting for awards, and he, you know, won. Although, you know, who else was it going to be, really? I mean,
Benicio, though, wasn't a bad pick, Joey, because didn't you pick Benicio?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. And I picked, okay, maybe mine was off. I thought if I picked Miles Keaton, who did have a great night with his performance.
Yeah.
I think also those, though, like, I always think of Emily Blunt winning for A Quiet Place, so that's why I kind of went rogue. But I do get what you're saying, like, who else was it going to be? He didn't even show up! Like, bitch, well, where are you?
Yeah.
He, I don't know, I don't know if I can really articulate this well. I'm just thinking, it was like, that just kind of feels like, I'm gonna say, like, a weird win for that movie. It's not, because he's the villain, and also villains are big in supporting actors. So maybe that's something we should have thought the whole time. I just think it's kind of weird that if no other person wins for that movie, that he's the acting representation of that film. It seems like I tweeted something out last night that I said, I hope Sean Penn does not win his third Oscar before Stellan and Del Rey win their first. And the amount of comments that I got that were like, well, it's the performance of the year. Well, obviously, it's the greatest thing of all time. And I was like, and mute the conversation. So I'm not dealing.
That's not what they were saying when it came out.
No, not at all. Maybe it's just like, it just feels way too, it just feels like a rush of wins at the end. But I don't know. I just personally, my personal opinion would be like, I would not. I think that's kind of kooky.
Well, if he's the frontrunner and supporting actor, and given that one of the most powerful scenes in the film is the interaction between his character and Teyana Taylor, that is a plus in her column for winning.
That's true.
If he is the, you know, going to win, and it's his obsession with her that carries him through the rest of the film.
Maybe we all are obsessed with Teyana Taylor, but he goes the really creepy racist route, and we're just like, yay! We want to see you give more speeches.
I am obsessed with Teyana Taylor, too. Yeah.
I am, too. Totally obsessed. I just like seeing her. Like, she, is that her daughter with her?
Yeah. Her story about Leo, too, the fact that she was 7, though, when Titanic came out, made me feel very old. Although I was like 12, I guess. But I was just like, oh my God, I'm so old. Oh
my God. I was older. Was I 22?
Well, I guess if you were if you're 10 years older than us,
yeah.
Wow, Teyana Taylor. I didn't realize how young she was until she said that, but I did love that she's like, I left him with a baby. Like, that's fantastic.
That was great. That was really great. I also loved Kristen Wiig's actor speech. She's like reading through the script in the beginning. She just throws it on Jason Bateman. She goes, hi.
Oh, hello. She looked hot yesterday.
Is that a real tattoo? I didn't know she had a tattoo on her side. People were talking about that on the red carpet. I was watching the red carpet on Netflix.
So are you guys sticking with Stellan? Are you going with Sean? That seems to be between those two, I would say.
No, I don't know. Because I think, well, when we talk about best actor, that is influencing my pick here.
Yeah.
So I think I might go with Sean Penn.
I think I'm switching to Sean Penn.
Yeah. I think I did.
I mean, there's no other awards shows before the Oscars in 2 weeks.
Right.
And
they're still voting until Thursday.
Yeah, we have two more full days after tonight. No, three more days. Yeah, three more full days. I can't count of
this many
of voting. So I saw someone saying that Sean Penn not being there, does that hurt his chances? I was like, well, he won. No,
it BAFTA, helps them.
And he won.
It just helps them.
Yes, because right.
He's not going to get up there and make a political speech.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's so irresistible to, it's so hard to go against the combination of SAG and BAFTA. I mean, that's a massive block of votes right there.
And he is loved. Like, he's a great actor.
But if you think about, like, what you were saying, the scene with Tiana Taylor is one of the best scenes. The other, one of the strongest scenes in the movie is
the Chase Infinity scene.
Yeah.
Where they're in
the Chase Infinity scene. Yeah, that's in the church. That's so, yeah. That's such a great scene. So, I mean, like, fine, yeah. I guess.
I mean, he's annoying, but you forget he is a fantastic actor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember 100%. When Sean Penn won his second Oscar, I was really gunning for Sean Penn to win because, you know, gay. And Megan
and
was really
Mickey Rourke. Yes.
Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler. And I kept saying Sean Penn was going to win, and she kept saying Mickey Rourke because they kept going back and forth. And I do remember, and maybe I should apologize, that whenever Sean Penn won, I turned to Megan and I went, so, sorry.
I'm still crushed by The Wrestler. I love that movie so much. And then it was supposed to be Mickey's comeback, and it wasn't. We were all rooting for you.
He was nominated for an Oscar.
I know, but it was supposed to be more than that. I think he just did like an Iron Man after that. That was about it.
He did an Iron Man. I believe he did.
Go see a Star Wars.
Go see a Star Wars. Were you in an Iron Man?
We're going to talk about Best Actress and Best Actor here after our SAG conversation. But Jesse Buckley and Michael B. Jordan won, of course. Let's hold that conversation for Best Actor until we get to that segment. So Sinners wins Ensemble, and it wasn't a huge surprise because most of us predicted it, I think. A couple of people still picked One Battle After Another. It just goes, you know, who do you think is more influential? Who do you think is the bigger voting, has the most, you know, heft within the Academy? Is it going to be the PGA with One Battle After Another? Is it going to be the actors with SAG? You also have to think about the crafts. Sinners didn't win a lot of craft awards, but it's got support within the craft guilds. It's got 16 nominations. It got nominated for every single craft it was eligible for.
Yeah.
And it won the ACE award, which maybe it means it's a surprise editing winner, which we thought was going to One Battle After Another.
I think that it's also, we have to remember that like the cast win is always like a fickle category. Like mm-hmm. I wrote about that in the piece up on the site that, like, you know, for some it's a game changer. Like for Coda and Parasite, those wins were really important. For others, like the Trial of the Chicago 7 and
Conclave last year.
Conclave, it just was, here you go. So I don't know. Right now it feels like it's more of a game changer. I don't know if it's enough to push it to Best Picture. I still think One Battle After Another is going to win, but I think it will help it maybe in other ways. Maybe.
I am going to stick with Sinners for Best Picture. I do think the narrative of the immigrant crisis is going to help One Battle After Another because it seems more important. But there's just something in me that I get this like vision of somebody opening the envelope and saying Sinners, and like everybody just goes nuts and screams. So,
oh my gosh, are you having Oscar dreams?
I'm having Oscar visions. I am the Oscar vision. but no, I, I'm sticking with that. No, I'm not going as far as Clayton Davis, our good buddy Clayton Davis, is predicting Ryan Coogler for Best Director. That's not happening.
I don't think that's happening. I still think it's because I also think last year we were all thinking it was going to be crazier and it wasn't. And I still think
it was going to be Brady Corbet.
Yeah, like some of us were like, I still think in this category, it's always the simplest answer is PTA. Yeah. And I think he's still going to win. But I mean, it'd be cool if Ryan Coogler won too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think ensemble at SAG, like, I don't want to say serves a purpose, but I mean, like, I kind of feel like every year I can't really put into words like what ensemble means. But I mean, like, you know, it's just like, it just feels like, I don't know. I think when you talk about one battle after another, you do, like, everyone in the cast is great, obviously. But I mean, I feel like you find little moments where you think of these interactions like Sean Penn and Chase Infinity, or Leonardo and Chase Infinity, or Regina Hall coming in and having moments of Chase Infinity. But I feel like you rarely hear people talking about the ensemble as a whole. And when you think of Sinners, I personally think of everyone in that juke joint. And I think of that shot from, like, when everyone realizes that they're going to get in and everybody has to fight and everyone has a weapon. And and I do think you're right, Megan, that, like, you know, there are moments where the SAG really kind of shows a pivot in the Oscar narrative. But also, I think Clarence says this a lot, like, how people vote in terms of who they want to see get on stage. And I think people really wanted to see the Sinners ensemble get on stage. Mm-hmm. Sort of like Parasite, like Coda, like Everything, Everyone, Everywhere. EEAO.
Everything, Everywhere,
over the line. Thank you. I love that movie, and I can't think of the other title. But I mean, like sort of just thinking about it last year, like, everyone was just saying it was probably going to be Anora, because Anora had a really great, or maybe SAG was before that huge weekend, but Anora could have won ensemble. But you think of the interactions between Ari and Yura Borisov, you think of the three guys in the van, but like Conclave, you think of everyone all together at once.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's interesting too, because like with one battle after another, they're kind of not all together. They're like,
no, they're
paired off.
Yeah. Oppenheimer's like all those men in suits, Everything, Everywhere, everyone was in all the different realities.
Yeah.
Chicago 7, everyone was mostly in a courtroom.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good theory. That's a good way to think about it moving forward.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I mean, even in Parasite, they were all in that house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a good hour.
Even Hidden Figures was one of my favorite wins, and they all interacted with each other a lot.
Like Black Panther, just think of Wakanda, all the people in Wakanda.
Did that win? I forgot Black Panther won. Oh, I forgot that. Well,
Spotlight, everyone in the room. Yeah, I guess.
Good call, Joey.
So let's jump to our next two major categories, which are Best Actress and Best Actor. And we'll get Best Actress out of the way. Is Jessie Buckley is unbeatable. Like, this is hers, right? There's no way. I know even Rose Byrne is getting the Carey Mulligan treatment right now. It's like, here's how Rose Byrne can still win. I'm like, she got her indie spirit.
Rose Byrne's second, though. I still think Kate Hudson's second.
No, I do too. I absolutely do think Kate Hudson is second. I think Rose Byrne is great in a very difficult film, and Kate Hudson is beloved within Hollywood, and she's a nepo baby, and she's the child of Hollywood royalty, and she's her second Oscar nomination in 25 years.
People fucking love that movie too. Like, people love Song Sung Blue, whereas people I've talked to with, I loved If I Had Legs, but either people love it or hate it. So that's not going to help with the preferential ballot.
No.
So.
Not that even if I actually had a bit of a pang of worry right when they were announcing the categories. Like, everyone loves Rose Byrne. Rose Byrne can win because everyone loves working with her. But I still think that even if Rose Byrne won last night, it would still be Jesse Buckley.
Yeah.
Jesse Buckley looked like an Oscar winner last night. She looked fantastic. That was a very classic.
Her speech was so good, too, when she mentioned Emily Watson. Like, I loved that. All of the speeches were really good. Like, they all, like, they were all very heartfelt and mentioned other actors, which I thought was great. It was really a great celebration of actors last night.
It was. And even though I think the ceremony went on too long, they didn't have the burden of TV timing and all that stuff. I mean, they still had, you know, as Del Orlando mentioned, they still wanted to play you off. But, you know, people didn't care. They cursed. Nobody bleeped it. It was
great.
Every time someone swore, I was like, oh, wait, we're on Netflix.
I know, right? I'm like, oh, my God, TNT's going to get sued. Wait a minute, we're not on TNT. best actor. Unexpectedly, this has been, all year we've thought this was Timothy Chalamet, or at least between Timmy and Leo. And holy shit. Michael B. Jordan winning last night was amazing.
Exciting. It was so exciting. Like, and so deserved too, because like he played two characters, and they talk about like what he did to make their gait different. Like, didn't he wear like shoes that were bigger and I don't know, like just the stuff he did was so cool. And he's been, talk about somebody who has been, well, Joey and I were talking about this today, how Timothy Chalamet has been like saying how he's overdue, and the narrative has been he's overdue. Talk about somebody who's overdue not only for a nomination, but a win. Like he's been steadily working, doing interesting things for years, and very excited for him. And he looked very surprised, and his speech was really good too.
And I think I am going to switch my prediction to Michael B. Jordan, because I couldn't figure out who it was other than Timmy. I put Timmy as by default in number one, but I didn't think that he would actually win because his campaign was so toxic and weird and full of himself. Mm-hmm. And you know, even though the Academy has changed, there has been this long-standing thing where they don't want to give it to somebody who wants it too much.
Right.
And he screwed himself, I think, out of an Oscar by just constantly opening his mouth. And who was it? Was it you? No, I didn't talk to you last night, Joey. It was Jalal. I really wish you were here, because I hate to steal this from him, but he said to me last night, I realized one thing, that Marty Supreme is this year's American Hustle. And I'm like, the clouds parted and the sun came down. And I was like, that is so brilliant. You're absolutely right. That film is going home empty-handed.
I 100% agree. I do.
Yeah.
I told Joey that today.
I thought that the reason why I started questioning, I think I said it on a podcast a couple of weeks ago, it was like the reason why, or last week with Jalal, I think it was, it's like, it's not winning anything else. Like, it's not winning, like, if it was like gunning for like production design or editing, because it's a softy movie. And then that, when I looked up, there's only been like two actor winners in the last like 15 years that where only that they are the sole winner of their movie. I feel like that's weird. So then I was just like, it's probably not going to be Timothy Chalamet. And coupled with what you're saying, Clarence, about like, I thought his whole campaign the whole time was strange.
Yes.
I think he's actually really good in the movie, and I like how he's playing this like stupidly relentless person. But like, I think I said to Megan earlier today, I was like, the whole thing where he was just like, I'm a really great actor. I was like, all right. I don't think people like that. I don't know.
Bradley Cooper, who desperately wants an Oscar, and didn't do stuff like that. But he did have that weird New York Times interview where he was like, not answering questions And it was just like, you wanted this. Like, what are you doing?
I studied for 16 years to learn how to do this.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
That is, sorry, just a little mild tangent. That is probably on my deathbed. I will probably remember 15 images from my life, and one of them will be the look on Mark Johnson's face when I told him how much I hated Maestro.
That is so burned. Like, he literally turned to me like, what?
It was like I had just gotten in a car and driven over an entire group of elementary school children right in front of him.
Yes. Can I tell you, you made me hate that movie too, because I was like lukewarm on it. I mean, I liked it. I thought it was like very well directed and stuff. But then when I talked to you, I was like, you made a lot of good points, and then I really didn't like it after that.
I will never also forget the podcast that you and Mark did when every single time brought up Maestro, he was like, yeah, Mark, he's not going to win.
I do mention Mark though for one thing. I think his theory, remember he had a theory that Joey and I were talking about this today, because he kept predicting Odessa as Zion for best supporting actress nomination because of the link between you have to have an actress supporting actress nomination with the lead mm-hmm. actor for the lead actor to win. She did not get nominated, and so we're like, oh, who's it going to be? I've been saying Wagner Moura, but now, oh, it's clearly Michael B. Jordan, who fits that, who's got the supporting actress nomination. And so Mark is actually could be right with this, is what I'm saying.
But so does Leo.
Leo does too, but Leo's not winning.
No, nobody feels, no, that's the thing. Nobody feels the need, the urgency to give him a second Oscar for this performance.
And they never do. Like, that guy has, like, he should have won and been nominated and won for The Departed. Like, that's the one who I think is, like, his best.
I think he should have won for Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, that, never mind. Yeah. That's the other one. Yes. Yeah. That is an incredible
performance. That's the one, like, they missed out on. That was.
Was he even nominated or he
was? He was.
Yeah, he was.
He was.
Yeah.
That was one of, that is his best performance. You're right. But The Departed was the one that made me be like, oh, he's a fantastic actor. Because I was like that. You know, seeing him as the teeny bopper Titanic guy that everybody loved.
Well, talking about The Departed, of all of the tremendous performances, going from Vera Farmiga to Jack Nicholson to even Alec Baldwin to Matt Damon, all of those fantastic performances, and Mark Wahlberg. What? Who looked that up? He wasn't even six in my top, you know, he wasn't even in my top.
That was like a good game. I think it was so unexpected.
I looked this up recently of all of the, I don't know why I thought of this, but like Mark Wahlberg, I'm on the Departed Wikipedia page. He was nominated for an Oscar, won at Boston Society of Film Critics, and
of course he went in Boston. Come on.
Boston, yeah. He was nominated for a Golden Globe, and like he won National Society of Film Critics. And like, that's it. That's all he.
Yeah.
That's it. Crazy.
Jack Nicholson should have been nominated.
Yes.
The amount of times that Megan would yell at me, you want to chop me up and feed me to the poor?
I was just going to say that.
The whole fucking season.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
It is a great movie. So,
welcome to the Martin Scorsese mid-2000s retrospective.
But getting back to Best Actor, I mean, okay, so it's not going to be Timmy. It's not going to be Leo. Could be Michael B. Jordan. Could get a total left field surprise, and it could be Ethan Hawke, who has been consistently nominated. Could be Wagner Moura, who won at Golden Globe. Wasn't nominated at SAG. Was he nominated at BAFTA? He
wasn't.
No. Okay. I don't know. I'm going with Michael B. Jordan.
Me too. I'm going with Michael B. Jordan.
And also that's another thing. It's just like when his clip played, and I was like, oh my God, it's a scene where he's acting with himself. I'm like, that's so, if that's not like after catnip. I don't know what is, but I think the difference is it's happening again in the middle of Oscar voting. That great surprise, the people that may not have voted yet, maybe they're going to be like, that was great. Why didn't I think of that? They're going to cast their ballot for him. And also, if Sinners is a threat to win Best Picture is usually tied with Best Actor most of the time. So,
yeah. See, I'm going with him, and I'm going with Sinners, and that'll be that.
I respect, mad respect, Clarence.
I'm really tempted to pick Wagner Moura. Really tempted.
I know, because it could be didn't that happen with Adrian Brody? Where, like, two people that, like, he was, like, the third that nobody thought of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was but, Jack Nicholson and who else?
Daniel Day-Lewis for Gangs of New York.
Yes. I saw a stat.
Pianist won. The Pianist, was won Best Director. I mean, it was almost won Best Picture.
Right. I saw a stat today that said that the last time somebody won Best Actor who didn't win the BAFTA or the SAG was Sean Penn for Mystic River. And so they said so it could happen again for Timmy is what they were saying, but like, it is possible because it happened for Sean Penn, which I thought was an interesting stat.
We're gonna have to endure all of 2026 into 2027, being like, you can win for Dune.
What is kids a sandworm? We need Jalal on this podcast.
oh my God. I mean, he's already started about how his performance in Dune 3 is, you know, already amazing and wonderful. And that, you know, just he's already been talking about it. I'm like, stop. Just stop.
Okay, can I ask one question real quick? He took his mom to SAG the Actor Awards last night. Do you think that was trying to appeal to the audience? Because... do you think there is some friction with him dating a Kardashian?
I think people just ignore her when she's there.
Okay. That's just wondering because it was an interesting choice to me because he's been, you know, having his partner there for all of these awards and then she's not there for this one.
Yeah, I wonder if there's something like, you know, you're not a serious person. You're not because you're dating a Kardashian and all you do is talk about how wonderful you are.
I'm dying to know what his publicist is telling him.
I sent three pictures to Megan today of during this whole press tour, Timothée Chalamet in different solid colored tracksuits.
Orange,
pink, mostly orange, blue. Yeah. One of them was leather.
Yeah.
He should be wearing.
I do wonder if he would have presented himself as just like kind of, I mean, I guess he is a little bit bombastic. Normally, but like he really went over the top. Him sitting on top of the sphere, making Howard Dean sounds at the top of the sphere. Like that was just almost like the kids Howard Dean too. Like you know, make those sounds and survive. Right. And I do wonder if he would have just been like, you know, hey, I'm really proud of the work on this. If people would have just. Keptic. I do think the campaign hurt him.
100%.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I didn't think this way last year when people would not shut up about Bob Dylan. I actually wanted him to win last year.
I did too. But I think it was a little different.
Yeah. Yeah, I still don't. I mean, they really turned away from the musical biopic as a source of Academy, you know, win a gold because, you know, I don't know. It's just to give Adrian Brody a second Oscar.
Yeah.
And Timothée Chalamet was fantastic in that.
Yeah, he really was.
But so, Joey, are you going with Wagner Moura?
No, I want to see that hot, sexy man, Michael B. Jordan, holding an Oscar, so I'm going to go with him. But Wagner Moura is number two for me right now.
Yeah, me too.
I still would love to see Ethan Hawke win.
Oh, I would love that too.
But he didn't get his more quality supporting actress nomination.
Yes, so. You're right.
Yeah, that was the hurdle.
All right. Let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Joey, why don't you go first?
I'm still chugging along with these Oscar movies. I'm almost done. I've already seen this movie, but if people really want something else to watch this weekend on Netflix, on Friday drops the entire season of Vladimir, which is a show that I had the book for that I didn't even realize they were turning it into a show. It stars Rachel Weisz and Leo Woodall and Tim Walsh from Veep. Tim Walsh?
Matt Walsh.
I'm combining Timothy Simons with, yeah. That comes out on Friday. It's 8 episodes. All the episodes are under a half an hour. You will be able to get through it so fast. I did, because I interviewed Miriam Silverman, an actress, a character actress that I really like. She's more of a Broadway actress. Doing that, I'm really enjoying Drag Race. I have not paid attention to any movies. What's coming out this week? Let's check.
I can't believe The Bride is coming out this week.
Yes.
I'm shocked by that.
I've heard some good things.
Yeah, I have heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it looks fun.
I think it looks a lot of fun.
I had wondered if they were just like, so when can we put out The Bride? Like, when does Oscar voting end?
I know. I did wonder about that.
See Buckley's Norbit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just looks like...
quite like that.
I would rather have a movie be really fucking weird and be kind of and take some chances. And I think I will like it more than the other literary adaptation of a similar text.
Oh. All right, then.
That's it.
Anything else? Nope.
No.
Megan.
I'm going to this History Uncorked event in Pittsburgh this week, which I'm really excited about. It's like just like a party type of thing. And then I'm watching Obsessed with the Beauty. There's a twist this week. It's ridiculous with Evan Peters. And if you're watching, if you know, you know. And I need to know how they're going to resolve this in the next few episodes, because I think it's almost over. I need to catch up on The Pit. I've missed last week's episode because I went to see Sasquatch. Love Story is so good. My God, I love this show so much. And 1,000 Pound Sisters, of course. I forgot. Did you watch Survivor, Clarence?
I did.
Okay, I didn't miss that too. So I got to watch that. And then I still want to watch Basic Instinct and I want to see The Bride. Oh, and Mitski's new out. Wait, did I mention Mitski's new album is out? It's really good. I like it. That's it.
We can't do Basic Instinct until, let's see.
Mid-March.
March 23rd.
Okay.
I'll put it on the books.
Which is probably like, it came out around, and it came out February of 1992.
Can we call this segment Megan Hasn't Seen It?
We could do a whole podcast series on that.
Wait, I'm looking up when it came out. Hold on.
Yeah, me too. It came out.
I think it was in 1990. It was definitely 1992.
March 20th, 1992.
March 18th?
March 20th. Clarence, you were so close.
What? That's crazy.
So we can celebrate the... Wait, how many years is that?
1994.
34. It can almost run for president.
I'll never forget seeing that movie in the theater. There was literally a guy walking in, and it was a legitimate theater that I was in. It wasn't like a shady porn theater. A guy walked in an actual trench coat. I was like, oh, this person's gonna, what's going on? Yeah, but The Silence of the Lambs came out in 1991 on Valentine's Day.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Such a great movie. Anyway, were you done, Megan?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right. I am ludicrously excited about Pixar's Hoppers. I think it looks super cute.
It looks so funny.
And it's
I don't know anything about it, but I like the name.
I'm so excited to see Pixar movies get really great reviews again. Like, you know, and they're taking, it seems like they're taking chances. The director came from Cartoon Network, so maybe they're trying different things instead of the whole get them with emotions, you know, hook that they've that served them well in the past, but they need to move on from that. On TV, Survivor 50, we did watch the all 3 hours, and it's a dense 3 hours, let me tell you.
I kind of was like, it was daunting to look that it was 3 hours long.
Yeah, and I was like, please tell me that not every single episode is going to be 3 hours long, but they're not. They're an hour and a half.
Even that's
long. I didn't know the Duffer Brothers were doing Survivor.
But it's fun to watch Mike White be on there, and he's like, he's definitely playing it very, very quiet, very, very down low, very like in the first 20 minutes, all these people rush out to him and they're like, I love the White Lotus. And he's thank you.
That's so funny.
Mike White has abs.
I heard about that. I heard he has abs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chuck and Buck who? What?
I have also started, I finally started a Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which is the second Game of Thrones prequel series that I absolutely love because it is short, it is to the point, and it is built off of this remarkable relationship between these two characters, Sir Duncan the Tall, who is played by a very new actor. I think he was in... He might have been in Sisters. Is that the name of that show? Bad Sisters. I think he was in Bad Sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this adorable little kid. It's fantastic. I'm
heard
all
good
in.
Things about it. Yeah.
It's a lot.
I have
of fun.
A question. Yeah. Oh my God, he's on the show. I will watch a Game of Thrones show because of this guy.
Yeah.
Who?
From Peter Claffey.
Okay.
Someone described it to me. They said, oh, it's like Game of Thrones, but a comedy.
It is very funny. It's very sarcastic. I'm halfway through it. It's going to start getting a little bit more Game of Thronesy intriguey. But the first couple of episodes are very light and funny.
Okay.
He's super tall and they keep making tall jokes about him. And whenever he walks into buildings, keeps hitting his head on wood beams, and he's just so affable and like kind, but really kind of dumb. And this little kid is like, you know, he treats this little kid like a child. I mean, like his son. And it's just really sweet.
So I'm not saying, is it okay for somebody who doesn't really like Game of Thrones? I'm not saying, like, will I like it? But I mean, like, is that somebody who's not familiar with the world can just, like, totally watch it?
Yes.
Okay. I might watch a Game of Thrones-esque show. Why? Because there's a tall, hot man. My brand.
That's true.
And he's really quite good at it. So is the little kid. The little kid's just adorable. And book wise, I finished my Dan Brown Inferno, and I am now reading, based on Jalal's adoration of the novel, Wuthering Heights. I actually went to Target and bought my.
I did too.
I turned it over face down so that nobody saw me buy it, and I kind of slipped it into the self checkout aisle so that I didn't get.
That's pretty funny.
Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi's, you know, luridly.
You could say it's for my son who's reading it for school or something like that.
Well, it's so funny because this is like a classic of British literature, one of the widely to be claimed one of the best novels ever written. And it's just like, well, just the cover is just kind of, I feel like Fabio is on it.
Yeah.
My cover, the book that I got, it's not like the movie tie-in. It has a weird illustration on it.
Oh. I hear it's a very weird book.
I'm excited.
I remember it being weird, and I didn't like it. But that was 20 years ago that I read it.
Yeah. So, all right. Does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3Ms, contending co-founders, Megan McLaughlin, Joey Moser, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, click like and subscribe here on YouTube, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.